From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The comprehensive immigration bill died last week in the House, and the battle within the GOP heated up over how inclusive it needs to be to win back the White House. There was a strong push by the GOP to be a bigger tent party after President Obama won a second term in 2012. To be the party to lead on immigration reform, that faded. This hour on Point, the death of a comprehensive immigration bill, the non-white vote, and the future of the GOP. You can join us on air or online. What happened to the calls to broaden the base of the Republican Party after the 2012 election? Hispanic voters, do you feel written off by the GOP? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Washington to talk about the latest on the immigration bill and discussions going on within the Republican Party is Rachel Smolkin, Deputy Managing Editor for Politico. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So where exactly does the immigration bill stand right now?
As you said, we're at a moment where it looks like the comprehensive bill that came out of the Senate is a non-starter, just dead on arrival in the House. We're now looking at a piecemeal approach for much narrower bills, bills on tougher border security, on reworking the employment verification system. And even those bills are going to have a tough climb getting out of the House. So if anything at all comes out of the House, it will be these piecemeal, narrower bills. And the other thing that we're finding in the House is there's no real sense of urgency. Originally, the hope was that something would come out of the House before the August recess. That now looks really impossible. It maybe will get one or two little pieces of legislation, but nothing substantial will come out of the House before they go out for the summer. And when they come back in the fall, they have a very busy legislative agenda. There are looming budget fights coming up that are going to compete for their attention. So this moment where the focus is on immigration is about to pass, and there will be a lot of competing items on the agenda.
So there was a lot of talk, as you say, after President Obama won a second term, that Republicans had to appeal to Hispanic voters, that they needed to be more inclusive, to be a bigger tent party. Here's a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, appearing on Face the Nation on CBS in January, discussing President Obama's win. He stressed that the GOP needs to diversify its constituency.
I think we clearly have to change. When you lose Latinos by 71%, you lose Asian Americans by 74%, you lose people under 30, you lose single women. I mean, you go down the list, we have not won a majority except for 2004 with an incumbent. We have not won a majority since 1988.
And here, speaking one day after the election in 2012 in November, Sean Hannity on Fox News saying his position on undocumented immigrants had changed, and he now supported a pathway to citizenship.
We've got to get rid of the immigration issue altogether. It's simple for me to fix it. I think you control the border first. You create a pathway for those people that are here. You don't say you got to go home. And that is a position that I've evolved on.
So big voices within the party, Rachel. What happened? Why has that feeling gone away?
The politics on this issue have shifted very quickly, and I wouldn't say the feeling has gone away. Certainly the voices who you're hearing from this sort of national GOP establishment have not changed their minds on this issue. We've seen Senator Marco Rubio really lead on the issue, voices like Bill O'Reilly, Karl Rove weighing in. But what has happened is the national aspirations of some of the establishment figures have run smack into the structural realities of the House of Representatives. And many Republican lawmakers in the House are white conservatives who represent mostly white districts because of redistricting. Their districts do not necessarily look like the country as a whole. And their constituents are not necessarily clamoring for change. So from their perspective, as local lawmakers who report to their voters back home, it doesn't make a lot of sense to push on this issue. The other thing that we've seen happen is the opposition has hardened a bit nationally, and we've seen influential conservative voices such as William Kristol and Rich Lowry, the editors of the Weekly Standard and the National Review, weighing in against the Senate bill and saying it's just too full of loopholes, it's not going to solve the problem, and why, after all, is there this sudden urgency on this issue? They say it's not going to help us that much as a party to change immigration.
So a lot of this is House Republicans, many white conservatives representing mostly white districts who don't care much what Marco Rubio or Karl Rove or Bill O'Reilly or whomever say this is smart politics or smart policy. Is there any recognition by the House GOP that demographic shifts are happening in this country?
There's a recognition that they're happening, but they disagree with the premise of the argument. They think, as some of them think, that enabling lots of new voters will help Democrats. They say, why are we doing this? Why are we bringing in a lot of new voters who are going to throw us out of office? Why is that smart politics? So they even raise a counter from the national perspective. They simply don't see, again, either the urgency or the smart politics on the issue. So what was conventional wisdom in the Republican Party, at least among the louder voices right after the election when Mitt Romney did so poorly among Hispanics, is starting to turn.
During a press conference on Thursday, House Speaker John Boehner addressed how the House will act now on immigration reform.
We are not going to do the Senate bill. I have said this since May the 23rd. The Senate bill, in my view, is flawed. I don't believe that the triggers for border security are appropriate, and it's going to allow a process to start and continue until, without the border being secure.
So, Rachel Smolkin from Politico, how much rancor is there over what to do next in the House and generally in the Republican Party?
There's a lot of rancor over what to do next. And beyond that, not a lot of disagreement. Even if you do a piecemeal approach, disagreement about how to do that, what pieces of legislation to try to push. There was a recent critical strategy meeting in the House because the House strategy of the leadership has been very unclear. And Boehner did tell his conference behind closed doors, look, guys, we have to do something on this issue. He felt that the politics were not favorable to House representatives, to his party, if they're seen as simply sitting on their hands. The Senate did pass a bill. President Obama is calling for a bill. He felt like it was not a good option to be perceived as just sitting back and letting the bill die entirely. So then the question becomes, A, what do the Republicans try to push in the House? And B, what did the Democrats do? Do House Democrats sign on to this strategy of pieces of legislation, this piecemeal approach, and hope that when the House bill meets the Senate bill in what they call a conference committee, something that's more favorable to them can be worked out? Or do they try to block a piecemeal approach because that's not what they want? None of these piecemeal bills that are being discussed have a pathway to citizenship. And for Senate Democrats, that is the critical issue that has to come out of any immigration reform bill.
Right. Rachel Smolkin, hold just a moment. Let me bring another voice into the conversation now. From Columbus, Ohio, Sean Trendy. He's generated quite a lot of controversy for his four-part series in Real Clear Politics, looking at how the GOP does not need to focus on the non-white vote to win the next presidential election. You can link to his series on demographics and the GOP at our website, onpointradio.org. Sean Trendy is senior elections analyst for Real Clear Politics. He is author of The Lost Majority, Why the Future of Government is Up for Grabs, and Who Will Take It. Sean Trendy, glad you're with us. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you write in your piece, quote, Democrats like to mock the GOP as the party of white people after the 2012 elections. But from a purely electoral perspective, that's not a terribly bad thing, end quote. Can you explain that?
Sure. I think in a lot of this discussion about the demographic changes in the country, perspective is lost. And at the end of the day, non-Hispanic whites are over 70% of the electorate and probably will be again in 2016. So when you're looking at what the GOP has to do, I think it's important to distinguish between what it should do. I actually would like to see a lot of the outreach that's been discussed. But as far as what it has to do, it could try to improve its standing with Hispanics by 20 points, which would barely get it a win. It could try to improve its standing with whites by 3 points, which would get it a win. I think a mix-and-match approach is probably the best. But the truth of the matter is, the simple math is, any of those approaches would have made Mitt Romney the winner.
So which voters should the GOP focus on then?
Well, again, it's a difference between should and have to. I think probably the best path forward for the GOP is something along the lines of what the House is doing. Advocate for some sort of non-comprehensive immigration reform. I don't think immigration reform has to be a pathway to citizenship. You know, you can do things like E-Verify. You can do things like border security. You can do things like a path to legalization, all of which poll pretty well, even with Hispanics. But at the same time, you want to try to reach out to some of these white voters who passed on the 2012 elections. There were 6 million fewer white voters, mostly blue collar, lower class, less education, who voted in 2012 but didn't in 2008. If you can get a substantial number of these voters to turn out in 2016, mm-hmm. convince them to offer them something so they'll vote Republican, it gets you a long ways to a majority.
Here's Mitt Romney speaking in March to Fox News about why he thinks he lost the presidential election.
We weren't effective in taking my message primarily to minority voters, to Hispanic Americans, African Americans, other minorities. That was a real weakness. We did very well with the majority population, but not with minority populations. And that was a failing.
To which you say, Sean Trendy?
To which I say the math is the math. You can say it's because he didn't do well with minority or voters, or you could say it's because he didn't do well enough with majority voters. There's multiple ways to skin the electoral cat, and you can't just blame it on the standing with minority voters.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about the battle within the GOP, about how inclusive the party should be, needs to be, to win back the White House. We're speaking this hour with Rachel Smolkin, Deputy Managing Editor for Politico, and with Sean Trendy, Senior Elections Analyst for Real Clear Politics. You can link to his four-part series on demographics and the GOP at our website, onpointradio.org. Here's some more sound following last week's GOP meeting on immigration. Republican Representative Ileana Ros-Leighton of Florida, who was born in Cuba, told reporters that there must be a pathway to citizenship for some immigrants.
As we strengthen the borders, which we must, I hope that we can also look at the 11 million who want to legalize their status and contribute in a big way to the greatness of this country, because they're patriots too, and they want to improve this country.
And Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, appearing on Meet the Press last month, citing immigration reform as the key to GOP success.
If we don't pass immigration reform, if we don't get it off the table in a reasonable, practical way, it doesn't matter who you run in 2016. We're in a demographic death spiral as a party, and the only way we can get back in good graces with the Hispanic community, in my view, is pass comprehensive immigration reform. If you don't do that, it really doesn't matter who we run, in my view.
Sean Trendy, do you see that as correct? A demographic death spiral as a party? The only way to get back into good graces with the Hispanic community is to pass immigration reform.
No, I don't. I mean, the GOP lost by 4 points running against an incumbent with 50% approval rating in a growing economy. I mean, when you get down to brass tacks, that's why the GOP lost. I don't agree that the pathway to citizenship is some magic talisman that is what is needed to get back in the good graces of the Hispanic community. And at the end of the day, we have to bear in mind that when we're talking about the Hispanic community, we're talking about 10% of the electorate, up from 8% in 2004. That's not nothing. That's a lot of votes. But it's not the ball game by any stretch.
So let me just make sure I understand this correctly. Reaching out to Hispanics as a party, the GOP, wouldn't be enough. You need to draw more whites, northern blue-collar whites, into the tent as well. Is that what you're saying, bottom line?
Bottom line, unless you have a way to get the GOP up to 50% of the Hispanic vote, which has never happened, they aren't going to win the 2012 election. There has to be some other change, either an improvement with African Americans who don't poll that great on the immigration bill, or an improvement with whites, most likely blue-collar downscale whites, the type of people down in New Bedford and Taunton.
So what is the message then to those folks?
I think what the GOP – and I'm not sure Mitt Romney could have delivered this message credibly, but I think the GOP needed to go with a more blue-collar, downscale candidate who could run on a more economically populist message. And there were lots of proposals floating around out there, from proposals to break up the banks, proposals to run against the financial reform bill for being written by Goldman Sachs. You talk about the way that Obamacare was put together, the collusion between big health care, big pharma, and the Obama administration. But again, I don't think Mitt Romney can deliver that message. I think he was a flawed candidate. But someone like Tim Pawlenty, I think it's more plausible.
Let me bring another voice into the conversation now. Joining me from Washington is Mercedes Viana Schlapp, co-founder of Cove Strategies, a communications and political consulting firm. She served in the White House for President George W. Bush as a spokesperson for his for Spanish language media outlets. She writes weekly now for U.S. News and World Report. Mercedes, so glad you're with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you for having me.
So would you like to have seen the House bill pass?
Well, the House bill, the way that they're positioning it right now, I think they're taking a slow approach. And I tell you, I think it's really important right now, considering what we're seeing, what happened with Obamacare. I think they are very nervous. We've seen already the results of Obamacare, where they've had setbacks. The administrations have had to have delays. So what we're finding is that I really believe that the Republicans are very gun shy in the House to go forward and push forth a comprehensive approach. Now, what's interesting is when you have Congressman Goodlatte and Congressman Eric Cantor come out and talk about, for example, the Dreamers Act, something that they're putting as a high priority that would legalize the children of several of these undocumented workers. And so when you're starting to see that sort of shift, even though it's small, I think it could be very effective. So I believe when it comes to the House, you know, Speaker Boehner has to bring in his majority of Republicans to support these different bills. And, you know, the slow approach might be more effective at this point.
What's the message, more broadly speaking, Mercedes, that the Republicans are sending to Hispanics with the rejection of this immigration bill as it stands?
Well, I think when you look at the numbers, and I think Sean had pointed out in one of his articles, you're starting to see that over a third of Hispanic voters really want a vigorous border security. You know, what I think when you look at Hispanic voters, they want immigration to some solution to immigration. Yes, would the Senate bill would have been preferred? Absolutely. But at the same time, it has to be a thoughtful approach. It has to be something that both parties can embrace in, you know, both chambers. So I think when it comes to the actual message for Hispanics, I mean, I think they just want a solution. And I think when you looked at 2012 and in talking to different immigrants and Hispanic voters, they kept saying, we're going to vote for Obama because he's going to solve this issue on immigration. And they decided they weren't going to push forward and support the Republicans or Mitt Romney's message of self-deportation.
Here's Senator John McCain, Arizona Republican Senator John McCain, talking to reporters last week, saying that House Republicans should be ready to take on immigration reform.
We are ready to negotiate. We are ready to talk. We are ready to sit down with you and negotiate and bring this issue to a conclusion that we all agree has to be addressed.
What do you make of this sort of, I don't know, backstep, generally speaking, within the GOP? There was so much momentum after the election to reach out to Hispanic voters to pass some form of immigration reform. How do you see that breaking down?
Well, I think Rachel mentioned it, that when you have those certain congressmen that are going back to their districts, they're listening to their constituents, and they really want to vote for what their constituents are supporting. And I got to tell you, I was out in Kansas giving a speech, and one of the folks in the audience basically said, well, how can we can assure ourselves that we're not going to end up with an influx of illegal immigrants under the Senate bill? I mean, there is this serious concern of this influx of immigrants coming to this country illegally. Now, with that being said, we need to have some sort of modernization of the immigration system. I mean, we know that immigration helps our economy grow throughout the country. And so and we also know that at this point, when you look at the numbers, for example, over 40% of the individuals who are here have overstayed visas, for example, mm-hmm. trying to solve these problems, modernizing the system, dealing with border security. I mean, all of these issues is something that we just need to deal with as a country.
And what about Sean Trendy's research? Should the GOP focus on getting numbers, even if it means leaving non-whites behind?
No. I mean, I think Sean provided a very analytical perspective on, you know, what the GOP can do, taking the emotion out.
But we know politics is emotional. And at the end, it's really being able to have these candidates that can go out and go into these communities and talk to the Hispanic voter. And I hate to say it, although immigration in several of the polls, for example, in the Pew Research poll came out that it wasn't on the top of the list of Hispanic voters, I got to tell you that over 40% of Hispanics, yes, they are worried about the economy. But when they look at that person that they're going to vote for, they're going to think about where their position is on immigration. And that is why we need to address this issue when it comes to, you know, not only from an economic perspective, but as well as reaching out to these Hispanic voters.
And so, Rachel Smilkin from Politico, do you believe Republicans will lose the Hispanic vote over this bill?
I think it depends how this bill plays out, how the fight plays out. And I mentioned Democrats before because you can't look at Republicans in isolation. Everything in politics is about optics and perception. And some of what happens down the road here depends on how Democrats react to it, how Democrats in the House react, how Democrats in the Senate react, how President Obama reacts. And so far, he has taken a very hands-off approach, at least publicly, trying to let lawmakers work the process. He understands that it's not going to be all that helpful to weigh in heavily, although we are seeing him do more events publicly. Today, he's meeting with TV anchors from Spanish language stations. So he's trying to keep up the public pressure to do something as best he can without doing anything that could backfire in the House of Representatives, where lawmakers are not eager to seem aligned with the president. But how it plays out for the Republican Party depends on all of those factors, their own strategy as well as the opposing party.
Let me get a voice in here. One of our callers, Bruce from Rock Island, Illinois. Bruce, glad you called. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'll be concise. For 30 years, the Republican Party has been claiming, for more than 30 years, claiming the high ground on conservative family values. The Hispanic community is predominantly Catholic, predominantly anti-abortion. Why do they so predominantly vote for Democrats and not Republicans? What's I see a paradox there. Why does that happen?
Bruce, thank you. Let's take that to Sean Trendy. Sean?
Because they're disproportionately poor. If you look at Hispanic voting and break it down by income level, it looks an awful lot like white voting when you break it down by income level. And what if you look at Hispanic voting over time, it's actually trending slightly towards Republicans. Mitt Romney's standing was better than any showing with Hispanics by the GOP in the 1970s and better than most in the 80s. So my theory is that as Hispanics ascend the income ladder, as their kids go to college and move to the suburbs, they're going to be like Italians and my Irish grandparents and their kids. They're going to move a little bit more towards the right.
And yet, Sean Trendy, I'm reading here, it is a very diverse population. And yet in California, one-third of Hispanic voters supported Prop 187 to prohibit illegal aliens from using health care, public schools, other social services in California, didn't they?
That's right. And a quarter voted for Jan Brewer, who is kind of the poster child for what not to do for Hispanic outreach. I mean, and that's one of the things that drives me nuts in this debate is that we kind of use this term Hispanic. It's a made-up term that most Hispanics don't apply to themselves. But we use it to do this analysis of what's really a very, very diverse community.
Let's go to Carl in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Carl. I'm glad you called. Welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Well, thank you for taking my call. And I'm going to tell you, this argument that they have over Hispanics in the Republican Party is so reminiscent to what's going on with the black community in America with the Republican Party. They just do a horrible job at even fake reaching out. It's like they can't help themselves to be just inclusive to other people other than evangelical, older white people in this country. It's like they can't help themselves. And the most damning report that came out is in the report, I think it was by the College Republicans, the way they described the Republican Party was rigid, racist, out of touch. I mean, this is coming from the Republicans themselves.
I remember the autopsy report. I hear it, Carl, and I hear your message. I'm so glad you called. Mercedes, would you respond to that, please?
Sure, and that was actually a very painful report to read, I'd like to add. But, you know, working with President Bush and really being on his campaign as well, I mean, you got to really look at the candidates, too. I mean, obviously, when President Bush ran for office, let's just take the Hispanic outreach, he was a border governor state. He spoke Spanish, reached out to the Hispanic community, really made a conscientious effort to talk about compassionate conservative solutions for the Hispanic community. And it really was about the outreach that I think he was so successful with his numbers in terms of Hispanics.
And Mercedes, let me jump in here because I have some sound from George W. Bush. This is actually last week, speaking at a naturalization ceremony during which he again emphasized the need for immigration reform.
America can be a lawful society and a welcoming society at the same time. We can uphold our traditions of assimilating immigrants and honoring our heritage of a nation built on the rule of law. But we have a problem. The laws governing the immigration system aren't working.
Sean Trendy, there's George W. Bush speaking about this issue. I mean, Marco Rubio, who has fought for immigration reform, seemed to be rising up to be the new face of the Republican Party, especially on this issue, maybe even more broadly. Who do you see out there beyond that?
Well, it's interesting that I think with the exception maybe of Ted Cruz, almost all the GOP, maybe Bobby Jindal, all the GOP frontrunners for 2016 have signed on to some sort of comprehensive immigration reform. But I think the Bush quote, you know, this is something that Mercedes alluded to, but why did Bush do so well with Hispanics and Romney so poorly? Everyone latches on to the immigration answer, but, you know, there's a ton of differences. She listed a few. You can also say that I mean, I think the biggest mistake Romney made was his god-awful comment about wanting to make life so miserable for Hispanics that they'll self-deport. I think that has more of an impact than policy stances on a fairly arcane issue like the path to citizenship.
Mercedes Viana Schlapp, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think when there was two things, not only that comment about self-deportation, which I have to tell you, even Hispanic Republicans, you know, who were surrogates in the campaign had to go out and defend Mitt Romney, which was very difficult. Secondly, also the cut and slash approach, the fact that you were going to cut and slash every government program. Well, a lot of these Hispanic families depend on these programs. And so, in essence, those two messages, I think, were incredibly ineffective with the Hispanic community. And I think that's where President Bush was so successful. And I think you're starting to see that those folks that are very serious about being presidential candidates, like Senator Marco Rubio, like Governor Jeb Bush, you know, they're really thinking that we need to at least talk about this issue of immigration reform and really tackle this issue in order to start talking about the other issues like education and economic opportunity for the Hispanic community.
Rachel Smolkin, who do you see out there beyond Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Mercedes just mentioned? Who are the names on your list?
I think those are definitely the names. And Senator Rubio's push on this has been so interesting. We've seen him on some other issues, such as Obamacare, really make an effort to reestablish his conservative credentials while pushing very hard on immigration. And I think he's doing that precisely because of the feeling that, at least among many in the national establishment, the GOP needs to change the optics on this issue. One of the callers mentioned the College Republican report, and actually there have been two since the election. There was the one that the Republican National Committee put out, the so-called autopsy, that had quotes like the GOP is perceived as the party of stuffy old men. And then after that came out, a group of college Republicans, the College Republican National Committee, put out a similar but even more scathing report about the party.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about the battle within the Republican Party, about how inclusive it needs to be moving forward. We're speaking with Sean Trendy, senior elections analyst for Real Clear Politics. You can link to his four-part series on demographics and the GOP at our website, onpointradio.org. Also with us today, Mercedes Viana Schlapp, co-founder of Cove Strategies, a communications and political consulting firm. She served in the White House for President George W. Bush as a spokesperson for Spanish language media outlets. She writes weekly now for U.S. News and World Report. And also with us, Rachel Smolkin, deputy managing editor for Politico. I've got some more sound here I want to play. Florida Republican Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart addressed the issue of immigration reform in an interview with NPR last week.
This is not a Hispanic issue. This is not a minority issue. This is an issue of national security, and this is an economic issue. It affects the entire country.
And here's a recent interview, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz saying Congress should not focus its attention on immigration reform.
We asked Hispanic voters in Texas, not just every voter, but Hispanic voters in Texas, what's your number one issue? 5% said immigration. 54% said jobs and the economy.
John Trenti, would you respond to that?
I don't really have too much of a response. I think that's right. I think that the immigration issue is one of those issues that lurks in the background where Republicans can really shoot themselves in the foot if they do things like Mitt Romney did. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't believe that Hispanic voters are really that much more different in terms of what they care about, in terms of how they view the world, than similarly situated Americans throughout the country.
What about, Mercedes, about to Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart talking about this is not an issue of Hispanic issue, a minority issue. This is an issue of national security, an economic issue. Would Hispanics see it that way, I presume?
I think that they see it, but I think they're more focused on what does this mean for my family or for my community. So I think for the most part, although you see in terms of the polling that there is, you know, a third or more of Hispanic voters who believe that we have to have a vigorous border security measures in place. But at the same time, for example, in the recent Gallup poll, they do support the Democratic policies on immigration reform, overwhelmingly, 60%. So I think that for them, it's a personal issue. It's an issue about their community. It's about their cousin that can't get the visa or the aunt who's here illegally and she's trying to make money to send back to her families over in Latin America. So again, I really believe that at this point, they believe the border security part is important, but more so, I just believe they want a solution.
Let's go to another caller here. Buffalo, New York is where John is. I'm glad you called, John. Welcome.
Hi. I'm just wondering, is it more of a rich and poor thing than it is a racial thing? I mean, it was the Republican Party that invented the progressive movement through Teddy Roosevelt and perpetuated by Taft. Why do they think that it's a dirty word now, the progressive movement? That's my question. I just never understood that.
Good, John. Thank you. Rachel Smolkin, will you tackle that?
There is a split, of course, about where to focus. Do you focus on trying to win more Hispanics per se? And we've heard a lot of pushback about that on this program. Or do you focus on winning working class voters? And we talked a little at the beginning about the joint piece written by William Crystal and Rich Lowry. And one of the points they make is they don't think there's urgency to pass anything. They say if Republicans take the Senate and hold on to the House in 2014 after the midterm, they'll be in a much better position to pass a sensible immigration bill. And they go on to say that it would be better at the presidential level if Republicans won more Hispanic voters than they have in the past, but that the party also needs to perform better among working class and younger voters. So that's their view, and that's how they break down the issue.
How do you see it, Mercedes? Do you hang on that point that perhaps we should wait till 2015, GOP leaders say, and be stronger in the House and maybe even control the Senate?
Well, I think that they're being very methodical in getting this done. And you know, I think this is the moment. This is the window that we have where they're paying attention to it. It's passing through the different committees. And I think that right now is the time for it to happen. Now, I would like to add, and Rachel pointed out about the workers, the blue collar workers and the Hispanic workers, for example, share very similar values. Traditional values. You know, the only difference is that the Hispanics, for the most part, speak a different language. And so I think that there is where you have a sense of the GOP being able to not only deliver this message to the blue-collar workers about economic opportunity and growth, but also to the Hispanic community.
Let's get another call in here from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Nicholas is on the line. Nicholas, welcome to On Point. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
The reason why I'm calling is because I see that there's this big idea. Well, first of all, I am an immigrant, and I am a proud citizen now. And I see that there's this confusion that the Hispanic vote in general is more conservative. It is true. But people move from other countries because, in general, we need civil rights protections and things that we don't have available there. As long as the Republican Party stands against that somewhat, there's going to be a tough message to pass through. Regardless of how conservative I am, for example, I cannot vote for someone that for the party that I'm not sure is going to protect me.
Mm. Nicholas, thank you. Mercedes, would you respond?
Well, that's interesting. And I think one of the problems that the Republican Party has had is that so many of these candidates have had harsh rhetoric against the Hispanic community. And that's not helpful when you're trying to get their vote. So again, language is so important. The messaging is so important. And I believe members like Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Lindsey Graham, and so many of these other Republicans that are, I think, a very big chunk of the Republican Party, have the right message to reaching out to the Hispanic voters.
Here's a question from our Facebook page to you, Sean Trendy. Brian asks, can Sean break down his analysis for the Electoral College? That is, it may be that in national votes, a 3% swing in working class whites would generate a majority, but can that 3% carry a majority in the Electoral College?
Absolutely. And the Electoral College point is a key point because, you know, Ohio, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, these states were not lost to Mitt Romney because of the Hispanic vote. They're heavily white, and to the extent that they're non-white, they tend to be African-American. But really what we're talking about with the white vote is whites and non-Hispanic whites in Iowa vote like those in Wisconsin. Those in Wisconsin and Minnesota vote like those in Michigan. Those in Ohio and Pennsylvania vote like those in Indiana. We aren't talking about trying to turn the upper Midwest into the deep South. We're talking about changes of about 2 or 3 points in voting habits.
What about black votes? You also looked at that in your four-part series, Sean Trendy. How do African-American voters play into your analysis?
Yeah, we could do an hour-long show on that, and it would actually be a fascinating one. I think there's the question of how much of the jump in African-American turnout that we saw in 2008 and 2012 really is Obama-specific at the margins. I'm not at all trying to make the ham-handed argument that African-Americans vote Democrat because of Barack Obama at all. But the interesting thing, and this showed up in that Gallup poll, is that younger African-American voters actually are a little bit more favorable to the GOP than older African-American voters, and especially even on the immigration issue. And so there is some tension there. We're talking about trying to get the GOP to 10% and on a good day 15% of the African-American vote, but that would make a huge difference in the result of the 2012 elections.
Angel is calling from Boston. Angel, welcome. Hello.
Hi, Jane. I just wanted to say that as a Hispanic Republican and the only one in my family and amongst my friends, immigration isn't the biggest deal. What needs to change is the perception that Democrats are for the poor and Republicans are for the rich. And that's the biggest hurdle that the Republicans have to overcome.
Back to the socioeconomic argument, Sean Trendy. Angel, thanks for your call. Would you respond?
Yeah. I mean, part of my big picture, I think I came around to this towards the end of the piece, is that I think that the type of arguments that I said the GOP might want to make to try to turn out and appeal more to blue-collar whites also appeal to a good chunk of the Hispanic vote. I mean, Mitt Romney was a bad outreach candidate on many, many issues. One advantage George W. Bush had was he was running against the waspiest candidate of the last 20 years. Mitt Romney was the second waspiest candidate of the last 20 years. He didn't appeal to anyone in my family, my extended family, which is very blue-collar. I don't think he probably appealed to a lot of blue-collar Hispanics, even setting aside any issues of identity politics.
Rachel Smolkin, were Republicans worried that they would open the gates to a new generation of Democrats if they approved comprehensive immigration reform on this?
Yes, and I think you're beginning to increasingly hear that argument coming out of some influential Republicans in the House. You heard it less in the Senate, where they were more focused on states as a whole. And we just had one question that was very smart about the Electoral College. Certainly, the demographic trends are shifting to bring in more Hispanic voters in key swing states. And that's not just Ohio and Pennsylvania, but states like Virginia, which arguably supplanted Ohio as the swing state to watch in the last election. Virginia, Florida, Colorado, Nevada. These are all very, very important states where the trend lines are changing. The demographics are changing very quickly. And we are hearing some House members making the argument, why would we want to bring new voters into the system who are more likely to support Democrats and not Republicans? Now, if immigration reform passes, I don't know that we can assume how those voters are going to vote. I think that will change the playing field somewhat, and the old rules may not apply. We've heard in this discussion a lot of ideas about why Republicans may be able to attract more Hispanic voters in the future. But if you look at the demographics and you look at the trend line to this point, you can understand why some Republican lawmakers in the House may be making this argument.
Here's another call from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Blocker. Glad you called. You're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm not entirely comfortable with a conversation which seems to be about the efforts of one political party and one interest group in the electorate to try to figure out how to manipulate each other for best short-term interest gain. I'd be much more comfortable about this if it were all parties trying to figure out what's better for the country in the long term than what might get somebody elected or what might get someone else some other kind of benefit in the short term. And this applies equally to Republicans and Democrats and to every interest group, black, white, rich, poor, brown, through the country. I think more interest should be focused on the general long-term interest of the country than on short-term gain for any small group within it.
Good, Blocker. Thank you very much. Sean Trendy?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I think I said at the outset. I mean, I actually think it's a good bill. I think in the long run, immigration helps us all, just like I think in the long run, free trade agreements help us all. But you know, politics is a short-run game, and it's a game where, unfortunately, people try to break down the electorate into small chunks. And there are always going to be winners and losers in the short term with everything. And it's just unrealistic and would be ahistorical for a party to not look at some short-term gain regardless of the long term. The Republicans do it, I think, on immigration. I think the Democrats do it on trade.
Here's Imram in Westboro, Massachusetts. Hello. Glad you called. You're on.
Hi there. You know, this is such a big topic, and there's so many aspects, but I think I'd focus on two fundamental aspects, and I think that for me, the Republican Party, despite its efforts to kind of come up with a new strategy and trying to be a big tent, can never do so because the far right. And I think you see this with the Tea Party and as represented by Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin and some of the statements they make, but fundamentally they're xenophobic. They don't like people from elsewhere. And I think that there's the second point I'd make is that there's a conflation between terrorism and immigration. And I think that the far right uses it as a tool to create fear. It doesn't matter if many immigrants who come over are highly educated, highly motivated. The fact of the matter is they just kind of create suspicion because they want to try to create a fear of keeping others out. I know that jobs and employment often comes up as an issue, but I think that when you look at some of the immigrants who come over, especially from, you know, India, China, Middle East, and elsewhere, I mean, they represent the cream of the crop of their societies. They've gone to the best schools. They come here and they go to the best schools, and when they come out, they become entrepreneurs, they become productive people. And yet, that's always ignored because we always focus on this conflation issue of terrorism and immigration. And I think, I think with Mexico, you know, we talk about building a fence, but I never see them talking about building a fence with Canada. And presumably, both borders are entries for people from elsewhere.
Imran, thank you very much for that important point. Let me close out this hour. We just have a couple of minutes left by asking the panel this question. What are the GOP's chances, do you think, of becoming a more multi-ethnic party? Sean Trendy, you first.
Actually, the GOP's the GOP is more multi-ethnic than it's been in its past. That's if you break it down. But look, I think at the end of the day, the GOP is going to do some type of outreach. I think it's going to help, and I think that's going to be for the best.
Mercedes Schlapp, do you think that's true?
That's right. I'm very optimistic. I think that when you look at the party members, and for the most part, the majority of the Republican Party, they're focused on reaching out to the Hispanic community. They're putting funds into it. They're ensuring that there is that chance to be able to deliver their message to the Hispanic community, which at the end, I think, might resonate with the Hispanics.
Rachel Smolkin.
I think clearly the GOP is becoming and will become a more multi-ethnic party. The question is, do they handle the debate and the rhetoric in a way that the voters give them credit for that?
And what about immigration reform now moving forward? We've seen this hiccup in the House. Rachel Smolkin, where do we go from here?
I still think immigration reform has a better chance than almost anything else to succeed in Washington right now. We've seen a real moment in the Senate. I mean, we're all focused on the House now, but let's not walk past something very unusual. The Gang of Eight got Republicans and Democrats together, and they agreed on a major comprehensive bill, and it passed with overwhelming support. Having said that, very tough road ahead for immigration.
Rachel Smolkin, Deputy Managing Editor for Politico. I really appreciate your time and perspective today, Rachel. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mercedes Viana Schlapp, co-founder of Cove Strategies, a communications and political consulting firm, also served in the White House of President George W. Bush. Thank you very much, Mercedes. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And Sean Trendy, Senior Elections Analyst for Real Clear Politics. You can link to his four-part series, which we've been discussing today, on demographics and the GOP at our website, onpointradio.org. Such interesting work. Sean, thank you.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation, listeners, and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.